WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
It took the role of a sadistic cop killer in the 1987 film RoboCop to turn around the career of character actor Kurtwood Smith. Since then, he's gotten critical attention for two other villainous roles, the corrupt district attorney in True Believer and the rigid father in Dead Poets Society. In this scene from RoboCop, Smith, in the role of Clarence, taunts Peter Weller, who plays the cop.
Well, what have we here? You a good cop? Hot shot? I'm sure you are. Why, you gotta be some kind of great cop. Come in here all by yourself. You probably don't think I'm a very nice guy, do you?
Buddy, I think you're slime.
See, I got this problem. Cops don't like me, so I don't like cops. Well, give the man a hand.
Did you like the part as written? Did you make any changes in it?
Oh, we made a lot of changes, primarily dialogue changes, sort of as we, you know, that was sort of as we went along. I think that as the shooting progressed, I got more and more comfortable with the character, and I don't think the character was as funny and didn't have nearly as many sort of what you would call catchphrases when we initially started out, and a lot of those sort of came out of the situation.
Well, let me ask you about one line toward the beginning of the movie when you shoot Peter Weller's hand off. This is before he becomes RoboCop, when he's just a cop. You shoot his hand off, and then you say, "Well, give this man a hand."
Yeah.
Is this
yeah.
one of your lines?
Yes, actually, that was something that came out when we were rehearsing it, and then Paul liked it quite a bit, so he put it in. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was almost over the top when I said it. I said it as kind of a joke, and then he thought it fit in perfectly. And it is a line that gets mentioned a lot in reviews and articles about myself. People seem to. I guess it was such a shocking line at that particular point, and in a lot of ways, sort of set the tone for. For my character and the other bad guys as well in that film.
You're knifed in the neck at the end of the movie. That's how you're killed, and the blood spurts out. It spurts like inches away from your neck. It's really like a fountain. Can you tell us how the special effects for that works? Like where's the blood vial, and how do you get it to start spurting after you're knifed?
Well, there was a tube that ran down. The sleeve of my jacket, and then down through my pants legs, and then into the water, and out at the water's edge, there was a special effects guy with a tank, and so that basically when he stabbed me, I grabbed my throat, and then the guy would just start pumping blood through this thing, and it would just come jutting out in between my fingers. God, it sounds so gruesome. I guess it looked pretty gruesome too, but at the time, I didn't think about it too much because there were so many sort of technical things involved, you know, not falling down in the water too soon and making sure that, that I was turned right so that the camera could see the blood. It was all sort of very technical. And then when you see it in the film, it looks pretty ghastly.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference, do you think, between a hack action film and a really good one? And I think RoboCop is really a fine film. There's really good performances in it. It's funny. It's entertaining. It has a sense of irony about itself.
Well, I think that you just sort of said one of the differences between, you know, one of the major differences between a hack action film and a film like RoboCop. RoboCop had something more to say. A hack action movie is something that just relies entirely on its action and violence, usually. Or in the sense of a comedy, just pure out action. I think that with RoboCop that, you know, that there was a... there was a theme to the movie that had to do with sort of the endurance of the human spirit. And then beyond that, there were a lot of sort of political jokes, social satire, and then, of course, there was a lot of humor in regards to American corporate big business.
What were the immediate effects of RoboCop on your career?
Well, I had a lot of people, you know, prior to RoboCop, I was always trying to find a job, any kind of job, you know, in film and television. And after RoboCop, people were trying to get me to work for them. So, you know, I think that's the main change.
Another role I want to ask you about is as a very rigid father in Dead Poets Society, a father who treats his family as if he's running the military and leaves the son absolutely no freedom for the son to develop his own individuality or to follow his own desires. This also showed a different facet of your acting. Someone who's rigid as opposed to flamboyantly sadistic,
mm-hmm.
or terribly corrupt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that character, I always had a great deal of sympathy for that man, simply because when I first read the script, and I think when people see the film, they don't, you know. So that what I found was necessary for me to play the part, and in order for the part to work within the film, and therefore for the film to work as a whole, that the character believe very strongly that what he is doing is right, and right for the boy's sake as opposed to being right for his sake. In other words, I think that Mr. Perry felt very, very, very deeply that he was attempting to save his son from an unpleasant life. You know, they had always had a sort of deal between the two of them as to what the son's future would be, what his plans were, that he was going to go to the academy, and then he was going to go on to one of the prep schools, to one of the Ivy League schools, and then, you know, become a doctor, a lawyer, and live that kind of life. So that when this business develops in the film, the father assumes that the son has, in a sense, gone off the deep end, and since he's always been such a good kid, there must be other reasons for this, and the only way to stop this is to take some kind of a strong hand.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're the only person I've ever heard of with the first name of Kurtwood, which I understand is a name that your mother basically invented for you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she liked the name Kurt, and but she thought it was too short to go with Smith. So she had spent her honeymoon in Kirkwood, Louisiana, and she didn't like the name Kirk, but she liked Kurt, so she just kind of, you know, made it up. And it's been interesting. I was always Kurt up until I got involved in theater, and then although I used my full name on the program, people would always still call me Kurt until one summer I was working at Shakespeare Festival and we had a Kent and a Chris and another Kurt and a Kirk. And so people started calling me Kurtwood, and then it just kind of stuck from, you know. But people usually mispronounce it. People usually assume it's Kirkwood. And one time when I first came to Los Angeles, I met William Shatner, and he called me Curbwood, which was, I thought, probably the most original mispronunciation of my name. But
this is a name I figure most people assume that you made up for the purposes of being an actor.
Sure, yeah. That's why they always ask me about it. They assume it's a stage name. But it's not. It's on my birth certificate.
Isn't this also the kind of name that's supposed to make it seem like you inherited a fortune?
Yeah, maybe that's part of it, too. You know, maybe that's part of why I play a lot of these guys in suits and ties, you know, yeah. It does sound like that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself differently as a person, having been cast in so many villainous type of roles?
Ooh, what a deep question. Do I see myself as a different person? Well, I think that I have tried to look at myself and try to figure out why people cast me, have a tendency to cast me in that. I don't really think that I have changed as a person. I think that I can see why, you know, mainly I get cast or people show interest in me for those roles because I've done them well in the past. And that's something that you can't do much about that. I mean, that's certainly understandable. I mean, if you do it, you know, you do things well, then they want you to do that in their movie. I don't think that I have necessarily looked at myself and found darker aspects of myself that I didn't realize I had before. I mean, is that what you're...
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Kurt Woodsmith, we're out of time. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Kurt Woodsmith's next film is Dinosaur, starring Gene Hackman and Mikhail Baryshnikov.